Welcome back to Preferred Talk Guns. I know it's you don't hear Keith's voice right now because he's at his sister's wedding. So we have Mountaineer Ross filling in.
Howdy, folks. You should have started off with a groan, Bill. That's the way it always starts. Yeah.
I'll start off.
That's how he starts it off. You want to talk about how
Preferred
how,
Talk
how hungover
Guns?
You are?
How are you now? Oh, yeah. Seriously. That's a classic Keith right there. I'm not hungover, actually.
Good.
Because I manage my quantity when I drink.
Sick brag, Bill.
Anyway, we're doing week 4 preview. We're going to be talking our ad drops that we did this week. We're going to be talking some lines for the week, the watchabilities, start 'em, sit 'em. Should have a pretty decent show here coming up. And thanks for Mountaineer Ross for filling in.
No problem. I'm really excited to officially be the third host of Preferred Talk-Ons. I imagine this is the way it's going to be from week on. The people have been clamoring for me to get back here on the pod. The cameras are on me, and I'm excited.
Yeah, we do have a lot of cameras set up for you today, Ross. Smile for us. Thank you. Side note, before we get too far into the show, Ross lost a bet at work, and he's got to change his Twitter photo to a Marshall logo.
Yeah, it's real disappointing. I apologize to the West Virginia community. Well, I guess not the whole one, not Huntington. But Mountaineer Ross, for about 7 hours, will have a thundering herd as his Twitter What do you call that, Billy? An avatar or something? At the movie?
What was the bet?
I'm not really sure.
It's more of a personal thing. We don't really want to get into like too much detail, but essentially I said someone was a liar and they weren't a liar. But our boss, our collective boss, made the bet with me and I lost. So there you go.
Ross made the bet. Now he's going to lie in it. I mean, it's just for college football Saturday, so it's not like horrible.
I'm really scared to lose my 18 followers here, Billy.
And there are worse things than a Marshall logo to have as your Twitter avatar.
It's true.
So let's talk before we get too far. Tulane Houston was a banger last night.
It's a great game, but
it was a great game. But Josh is mad.
Houston +3, though. That seems like such an easy call there.
That was such an attractive line because you'd think, oh, of course, Houston's going to score 60 points.
And then the whole fake knee. First of all, love the play call.
Absolutely amazing. The execution was incredible.
Houston's got to tackle
on
that last play.
Yeah.
You got to wrap him up there. You can't just – it reminded me of the Vikings-Saints game a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was almost a virtual
– Yeah. Just wrap him up.
Right. Exactly. Don't go for the hit and the knockdown. Wrap
Force
him up.
Force him to kick the field goal, and then at least it's a push for me.
Yeah, Josh is thinking in terms of betting, not in terms of Tulane and Houston, the result.
Yeah. It was a great game, frustrating game. Nonetheless, but
Houston played 4 games in what 22 days or something crazy
something
like that.
Which
so,
is, I mean, it's brutal.
You can't help but think that maybe the West Virginia curse got him on this one, Billy. I mean, Dana Holgorsen, I think he kind of deserved to lose this one. Pat McAfee, West Virginia guy on the call. It was a lot of fun to watch the game. I think we were talking about it earlier, having McAfee and Hasselbeck and all them on Thursday night crew. Just makes it real easy to watch football because they're more relaxed and they're not trying to be, I don't know what the word is. I would call it douchey and make me feel like I don't know anything about football. They make it simple and I really enjoy the broadcast.
That game was 10 times more entertaining than the other game,
than the
NFL game.
Yeah, the Titans-Jags game that was airing at the same time. Well, I said you guys are probably sick of hearing me say this, but I think last night – should have been the night where fans realize, oh, college is a lot more entertaining than the NFL. I know there's a lot of NFL fans that probably disagree, but that's how I feel. A couple notes on last night's game. Houston, in the first 16 minutes and 44 seconds of that game, scored 28 points. In the last 43 minutes and 16 seconds of that game, they scored 3 points.
They were tired.
I think so. I also think Tulane did a great job of adjusting to their offense. They definitely contained De'Aaron King in the second half more than because the first half Houston was getting to the wings and letting him run and gun as he does. And then another point I want to make, like everyone seems to be loving Gardner Minshew right now. If you paid a lick of attention to college football last year, you would have loved him last year too because he was just as funny, just as weird. He slapped, slapping a mustache on Mike Leach in the post-game press conference.
Get up slinging at Washington State, too. It's not like
– pay attention to college football, people.
It's weird how – it's not like he's in a big market either. He's in fucking Jacksonville.
I know.
And somehow he's 10 times more famous. than he was last year when everyone knew he was a good quarterback. However, he is a way better NFL quarterback than I was expecting. He's throwing balls in perfect spots at a first-year quarterback probably should not be able to do.
Right. And it's not like he's working with a ton of weapons in Jacksonville either. No. I mean,
it's a real who's who of fourth round wide receiver picks over there in Jacksonville. it's DJ Chalk and God knows who else, DD Westbrook, and who gives a shit out there just getting ball in the perfect spot. Yeah. It's impressive.
I give him credit, but at the same time, like, it's not exactly like he just flipped a switch and his character became lovable. He was like this last year too. So pay attention to college football. Damn it.
And I will also, before every podcast, and I'm going to start filming this, I will also be adjusting the jock strap, stretching out before every pod. So go ahead and check that out on my Instagram Live. It's going to be quite the sight.
Oh, man. Quite the sight indeed. All right. Do you want to jump into ad drops or do you start them, sit them real quick?
Let's go ad drops.
Okay. I'll do Keith's ad drops as well for whenever the time comes. But for me, I didn't really make a lot of moves this week. I added Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for UCF, and I dropped Daryl Mack, the other quarterback for UCF, because Mack came back from injury from his ankle problem and has not been named the starter yet. So I'm going to pick up Dylan Gabriel, who's got the hot hand right now. Don't know if I'll start him this weekend against Pitt, but that's who I picked up. Other than that, I'm happy with my team where they're at. I like the matchups that they have this week, so I'm going to mostly stand pat for now.
For me, also, not a whole lot going on. I picked up DJ Dallas from Miami. And I also picked up Virginia's defense because Georgia actually has to play a legit team this week instead of a bunch of cupcakes that they haven't played so far. I picked up Virginia's defense.
Oh, because you had Georgia's defense.
I had Georgia's defense. They play Notre Dame. Virginia plays Old Dominion.
Sorry. It took me a while to process what that meant.
Yes.
I was pulling up Keith's team here.
So nothing real crazy on my end. I got to go up against Hoosier Jimmy this week. So, mainly one guy. So hopefully Michigan's defense can hold him to not get 20 points.
Sure.
But probably not. Either.
Especially now that he is apparently catching the ball. So that's
good stuff.
Fun. Ross, any moves?
I don't know how much people know about this league, but I have the lowest scoring team.
I have the third lowest scoring team.
So I pretty much flip my entire team every week. And it's a real who's who of when I'm mad at W or not. So I pretty much decided that I'm going to pick up or drop Austin Kendall pretty much every week for the rest of the year. And I also – Austin Kendall's a quarterback at W. I don't know if everybody knows that or not. I picked up Sam James, who's pretty much the only offensive weapon West Virginia does have.
He sounds like
the most generic colonial.
No, I was founder of all time. Like a Wild West villain. Like, oh, here comes Sam James through the saloon.
He sounded like he started a restaurant and it lasted for 40 years and now it doesn't exist anymore. That's what Sam James sounds like. And so I pretty much just do that every week while not scoring a ton of points. And also, I had Michigan State's kicker last week, so fuck that kid. No, I'm sorry. I know he's only 19 years old. And good luck to him, but you got to change.
He's about 12.
You got to change the way you run on the field, boy. You just have to. I mean, if you want to see a woman naked ever in your life, you have to change the way you run on the field, or a man, whatever. No judgments here, but. But, yeah, so I pretty much just flip my entire bench every week and just kind of see what happens. Hopefully, Martinez from Nebraska throws a touchdown or two. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Keith made a couple transactions this week as well. He added Drew Plitt off the waiver wire, who has been one of the best free agent quarterbacks so far this year. He also made a tight end switch, dropped Mitchell Wilcox out of South Florida, and added Kyle Markway for South Carolina. He also dropped Spencer Brown, the running back from UAB.
That's my breaking news thing that I just got. Want to hear this? It's NFL. Sure.
Okay.
The New England Patriots release Antonio Brown.
Seriously?
Yes.
Whoa.
That was a fun couple weeks.
A week. So, sorry. I know it's the NFL, but.
At least he helped them dismantle the Dolphins on his way out.
Yeah. Of all
teams. They were real worried about losing that game.
Yeah.
So, all right. Back to Keith's adding and dropping, guys.
Last one, he dropped Spencer Brown and added Jalen Adams for Southern Miss, who has been putting up gobs of points throughout the first couple weeks. So that's I think it's some smart moves on Keith's part.
You guys play each other this week.
We do. And honestly, I am cautiously optimistic. I alluded to this before. I'm confident in the matchups that my team is facing. So real quick, I'm just going to run down who they got. Joe Burrow's facing Vandy. Nathan Worker's facing Louisiana Lafayette. Omar Bayless against Southern Illinois. Juwan Jennings against Florida. Chris Olave against Miami of Ohio. Mason Fine against UTSA. And Brevin Jordan against Central Michigan. So a lot of favorable matchups. However, both my running backs, I have the Notre Dame and Georgia running back. So could be iffy there. I want a group consensus, though. Should I start Dylan Gabriel against Pitt and bench Mason Fine?
Who'd you say they play?
Pitt.
No, who does Mason Fine play?
UTSA.
No.
Dylan Gabriel's the lefty for UCF?
Yeah.
I would start that boy.
Think so?
He can throw the football really well.
Pitt's got
really
a really good defense, though. They held Penn State to 17.
Oh, they held Penn State. Oh, man. Who's on that team, Billy? A who's who of who gives a shit?
Well, this is the first time you said a who's who this
episode. Where's this game at?
I believe it's in Pittsburgh.
So it's going to be probably shitty and rainy again.
I don't know. Let me check.
Is Pittsburgh like Seattleville?
I don't know. Last week, I was saying, I'm basically going off last week. The weather in, where they play last week? Pitt.
Penn State. Yeah, they had a rain.
Yeah. So,
I mean, UCF is, they dismantled Stanford last week. So it is in Pittsburgh. But Pitt's defense is also a lot better than Stanford's defense. I don't know.
I think UCF can score pretty much against anybody.
I think so, too.
Will he have a couple picks? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But he's going to throw for 300 yards and have two or three touchdowns, I think. That's no doubt. Plus, I'm starting the wide receivers.
So. That's definitely a tough one for me. Probably a game-time decision. But Keith does not have many favorable matchups. He's got Ian Book against Georgia's defense, mm-hmm. which is coming at a perfect time for me. Well, everyone else is actually pretty favorable matchup. Jamie Newman against Elon, Eno Benjamin against Colorado, Max Borgi against UCLA, Cedric Bird against Central Arkansas, Justin Jefferson against Vandy, but if he does well, then Joe Burrow gets points, so I guess that's good for me too. James Proche against TCU, Kyle Marquay against Missouri, and Jacob Eason against BYU. I don't know. Unless it could be a high-scoring game between the two of us this week, if everything goes according to plan.
Well, I think I'm going to be all right. A lot of my guys, same situation. Iowa State, UL Monroe. I do have a couple of OK State players. They're going up against Texas. That's going to be a high-scoring game. Neither one of those teams really plays all that much defense. JoJo Ward plus Central Arkansas.
Texas is DBU.
Yeah, okay. I saw that. And then Greg McRae, who, as we've already talked about, Central Florida plays Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
But he scored a touchdown in his last 10 games. So,
isn't the longest streak in the NCAA right now?
Longest active?
Yeah.
I believe it's the longest active, yeah. So, not really. And then Jacob Breland, which tight ends don't matter. But they're going up against Stanford.
Stanford.
So, we'll see. We shall see.
Definitely. Ross, how do you like your matchups this week?
Who cares? I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping to just – my goal with this is just to be competitive. I have a lot of West Virginia players, and they play Kansas. I have a Kansas player, Puka Williams, the Pookster is what I like to call him. I got Adrian Martinez going against who, Billy?
Illinois.
Oh.
So that should be a big game
for Adrian Martinez. You would think so. And then I got Spielman, who plays Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the other wide receiver from UCF. I have Ruggs from Alabama. Who cares who they're playing?
He's going to put up four catches for 200 yards and a touchdown.
He'll get a slant on the 15 for a touchdown.
They do have to play at noon, so.
Yeah, and Southern Miss.
Alabama playing at noon. Say.
It's a problem. Saban hates that.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he's had it real tough. West Virginia boy, though, so we love him. I have Cole McDonald from Hawaii facing
Central Arkansas.
I think not even a real football team. I thought it was a bye week, but he's apparently playing.
Should be a lot of points for you in that category.
Yeah, I'm hoping. The guy I'm playing hasn't even started his third wide receiver yet, so fingers crossed that keeps up, and then maybe I can get an RW.
Yeah, Evan, if you're listening, Rondell Moore's on a bye week, and Brandon Wimbush is no longer playing. Hey,
Evan, if you're listening, just keep doing what you're doing, bud. It's working real well. Keep it up.
I mean, Evan starting Brandon Wimbush helped me beat him last week, so
maybe, yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't
I think Wimbush has got a hell of a game. Keep him in.
Hell of a game.
Hell of a game.
It's also – we're getting into conference play a little more consistently now, so I think we're going to start to see a lot of players – find their level.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more film out. Coaches know how to scheme against the conference teams more than they do these random non-con teams. So I think we'll start to see extremes level off a little bit here. We'll see if Joe Burrow can keep up his 83% accuracy.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about Jalen Hurts like he's the god of football. I'd like to see some of these other players that play well in the conference games, the ones that are a little bit more meaningful. And hopefully we can start talking about some other college football players besides how Jalen Hurts runs up the middle for 90 yards against UCLA, and we're supposed to be freaking impressed by that.
I was looking at the updated SP Plus rankings from Connolly this week, and UCLA is like 83rd or something like that. Like they're plummeting fast. It's bad news. You want to happen to start him, sit him?
Start him, sit him.
Start him, sit him.
All right.
Let's let Mountaineer Ross go first.
I think my first start him, I got two. My first stardom is going to be West Virginia University. They have risen like the Undertaker from the dead. Everyone thought they were done. Bill was already asking me to buy him a beer. He thought the bet was over, but I tell you what, boys, they are risen like the phoenix in the night. It is gorgeous. They are back. I am expecting them to whoop Kansas. I am back on the train. Let's go 11-1, and I'm going to see you at the playoff, baby.
Ooh, all right. Love that.
And my next – how many starters can I do?
You said you had two.
All right, cool. I'm going to go with Pat McAfee. I love Pat McAfee.
Ross is not really fraying from his Mountaineer moniker.
No. Well, the thing is Pat McAfee actually spoke about Morgantown for the first time in a long time. He had a real bad exit there. We want you back, Pat. We love you. We want you back. We don't give a shit about those two kicks anymore. I know I never really cared. I was like 14 when that happened anyway. So we'd love to have you back drinking some beers. You're one of the few All-Americans we've ever had. And my God, that man makes football way more entertaining on ESPN. And it like really I does. Said earlier, that broadcast is way more fun and way, way more entertaining.
I also really like the rapport that he has with Matt Hasselbeck, because Hasselbeck's more of like your traditional analyst. Mm-hmm. And obviously, McAfee's a lot looser, but he also does good analysis on special teams, which you don't hear on broadcasts at all. So it's nice to have his input on the part of the game that is very important, but we don't hear a lot about.
You watch punts because McAfee's on the call.
And
you're like, I want to hear what he says.
Right. And the Houston Tulane punters yesterday were really good.
Yeah.
There were a lot of punts that were down on the 10-yard line, which is not easy to do.
And he makes them exciting, and that's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
Punting is a freaking – well – probably isn't anymore, but it was an overlooked part of the game. Just let the ball fly, and who cares?
You have a sit-em?
Oh, I have to do that, too, at the same time? My sit-em is I didn't really think about this one. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. I'm tired of you. I really am tired of you. Like, I'm tired of you trying to pretend like you're Nick Saban when you do interviews. I'm tired of you being
what you
playing.
What did today, too?
What did he do?
Oklahoma – the official Instagram of OU football posted something about them having the number one offense, and he just commented, rat poison, which is such an Alabama thing to do.
I mean, stop it. You're not Saban, bud. Calm down. I mean, this is the problem when you have this guy who's – he's a good football player, blah, blah, blah. We all know he's great. But if I have to hear one more time about how they win by 40 and he's like, nah, it's not good enough, I don't give a shit anymore, Jalen. I don't care.
Well, the good part is they're probably going to win by 40 every single game, so you will get to hear it a lot more.
Yeah. When does he stop doing it? When's he like, good job, team? When they win the national championship, he'll probably be like, you know what? I guess we had a pretty decent season, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Like, what's going to be his reaction? Or is he just going to be like, well, you know, actually, we sucked, and we won the national championship. We shouldn't have won. Like, I don't understand. Go in the weight room again, Jalen. We all know you're so tough and strong, whatever.
Oklahoma isn't a bye week this week, so hopefully you get a little bit of a break.
Thank goodness. He'll probably figure out a way to get a quote out there.
I'm sure he will. Josh, start us in him?
Yeah. So I have two stardoms. Like Mountaineer Ross, my stardom is actually going to be Kansas, because my pick was at that Mega Bowl game, and We all thought it was over last week, or I did at least. And then they went and smoked the shit out of Boston College. And now they have a big home game against West Virginia. Probably going to decide who wins the Big 12.
Agreed. Agreed, Josh. Good analysis.
Thank you. And everyone knows that one of the toughest places to play in the country is Lawrence, Kansas. So it's going to be a tough game for West Virginia. Kansas is going to win. They're going to go to a bowl game.
Eyes of the Nation upon ESPN Plus as well.
I agree. I agree with the bowl game thing. I don't know about
that. Also, why is that game on ESPN Plus?
I don't know.
Come on.
People were pissed in Morgantown about that because it was supposed to be on ESPN2, and then like I guess ESPN was like, nope, not good enough. And then all of a sudden these two teams beat teams they're not supposed to, and they're really like,
That's going to be a game that's probably going to be streamed.
Unless this is all a conspiracy theory to get subscribers on ESPN Plus,
which that could be because ESPN sucks.
Yeah, they really struggle with the West Virginia market. They're like trying to figure it out. I will illegally watch it on Reddit. Thanks, ESPN.
My next stardom is baseball because this is the best time of the baseball season as we get into postseason baseball. It's the most exciting part of the baseball season.
Yes, but I can also do without like baseball from August 1st to September 20th. You can cut out 6 weeks of the season and we would still know who the best teams are.
I agree. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the postseason is the best baseball time. It's exciting. People are into it. There's games that start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday that actually matter. You're not watching the Tigers who are 44 and 108 playing at 1 o'clock. Baseball.
It's a solid start. We are approaching the best time of year. Mm-hmm.
And hockey season starts soon, too.
Mm-hmm. And the NBA. Preseason has started.
Are we allowed to talk about this stuff, other sports?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the stardom situm is encouraged to be just college football.
Oh, I didn't even know.
And my situm is...
I twisted that this morning.
We said we weren't going to do fall stuff. My situm is iced coffee. It's starting to get to that point where we have to...
Never.
Get to the hot coffee.
Never sit iced coffee.
Once it gets cold, hot coffee is the way to go. Wakes me up a little more. So, even though it's like 80 degrees outside.
Why are you trying to kill our women demographic?
Our women demographic?
All three of them. Just turned it off right there.
Bill's mom, Bill's wife, and...
Bill's other wife, I don't know. I'm kidding.
She doesn't listen to this anyway.
Oh, okay, so not Bill's wife.
Yeah. And she's not a coffee drinker either.
Okay.
But for me, it's hot coffee in the morning, iced coffee in the afternoon.
I'll be honest, I forgot to do a sit-on, and that was
– it showed.
Kind of off the top of my head there. But my stardoms were good, so I'll probably still drink iced coffee.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to the production meeting either, Josh.
Yeah, apparently. I have a couple of each. My first stardom is Steelcase.
Okay.
They're a furniture company in Grand Rapids. I own a lot of stock in them. They're up 10% today after reporting earnings. they reported earnings of 50 cents a share, beating the expectations by 7 cents a share. So they jumped a dollar. Their share
cash
price
out.
Jumped $1.50. No. I'm going to keep it growing, baby.
All right.
They've done nothing but grow for me since I've owned them for the last 2 years. My other stardom is my short game. Yesterday, Josh and I and a couple other coworkers competed in a
celebrity charity.
A fundraising putt-putt competition at a local course over here, and we won. So congrats to us. I'm normally not a great putter, but I really, really showed up yesterday. My first situm is my computer's wallpaper. I left my computer open, and Hoosier Jimmy came in and changed the background to an Indiana game. My other situm is Netflix because it's the time to be alive, in which every platform in the world is starting their own streaming platform.
That's
so
stupid.
Seinfeld, though.
What's that?
They just bought Seinfeld.
Netflix did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to have to buy a lot of other stuff because
they're losing The Office.
NBC is going to get one. Not going to get one. They already have one. Apple is starting their own. Disney's starting their own. Like in 6 months to a year, it's going to be really crazy to see what they're looking like. So not great. And my other stardom is Alex Hornibrook. It's because reports are saying that he's going to get a series for the Florida State.
Oh, let's say somebody's got to start him. More than anything to be Florida State.
This is where the tides turn for the Gators. Or what? The Seminoles.
Whoa. That's blast me over there, Josh.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Such a heated rivalry right now.
Can't really talk as a Michigan fan.
No, that's true.
But all right, anything else to add for starting situm?
sit them Kansas basketball. They just got in trouble again.
Oh,
just got an update. Yikes.
Josh, can we hear your breaking news sound again? Here's
the siren. If there was like a hurricane or something, that would be the worst. Siren ever.
I downloaded an app on my phone.
No free ads, Josh.
So we could like random times I could play different sound effects.
Soundboard.
So I might actually have a siren in here. But it's gonna take me a little bit to find. I have a laser. That's not loud.
Sweet.
It's gonna be the new.
Whoa.
That's breaking news. If you hear that, or glass shattering.
Stone cold! Stone cold! Stone cold!
I like to think that the laser is like, you just got shot with breaking news.
I like that.
Thank you.
So that's getting shot with breaking news, and then, yeah, okay, that will be our breaking news sound.
Good stuff. All right. Before, if anyone's got anything else, speak now. Otherwise, we're going to take a break and come back with some lines.
Let's do some lines.
Preferred Talk Hunts, we're back. Fortunately, my computer died as we were recording the segment, so we're starting over. My apologies. Thankfully, we didn't get too far. I was just doing the watchability. And I guess I'll start over, which gives me a chance to reread some of the ones that I botched in the first recording, the lost files. So shout out to me for forgetting my computer charger. My apologies to the listeners. Anyway, watchability, week 4. Don't miss this game, Utah-USC, tonight at 9 on FS1. Because you're waiting on another game, probably the Utah-USC game, FIU versus Louisiana Tech, on CBS Sports Network at 8. And Air Force, Boise State at 9 on ESPN2. Saturday's games, you got Michigan, Wisconsin at noon. I didn't even put that on the watchability because that one makes me curl up in the fetal position already, which is great. That's probably the only don't miss this game, if you ask me. In the could surprises category, got Cal Ole Miss on ESPNU, Tennessee, Florida on ESPN, Western Michigan, Syracuse on ACC Network, and Louisiana Lafayette versus Ohio on ESPN+. Because you're waiting on another game, Boston College Rutgers on Big Ten Network, Louisiana Monroe versus Iowa State on FS1, LSU Vandy on SEC Network. I mean, it's still football. Michigan State Northwestern on ABC, Southern Miss versus Alabama on ESPN2, and UConn Indiana on Big Ten Network. So I do feel kind of bad for putting MSU Northwestern in that last category, but just it's not going to be pretty football. It's going to be close.
It's going to be a good game.
But it's not going to be pretty.
What's your definition of a good game? It being close?
It being close, yeah.
Within a score.
It will not be entertaining until the last 2 minutes.
Even then, it still might not be entertaining.
Yeah.
14-10, and you know the game.
First team to cross midfield wins.
That's actually a good way to put it when you think about it. Afternoon slate. Don't miss this game. App State UNC. 3:30 ESPN Extra. Auburn, Texas A&M, 3:30 CBS. UCF versus Pitt, 3:30 on ABC. And Washington, BYU, 3:30. Also on ABC, I don't think that's right, but I might have written that down wrong. Could surprise us. Louisville, Florida State, 3:30 ESPN. SMU, TCU, 3:30 FS1. Kentucky, Mississippi State, 4 o'clock SEC Network. South Carolina, Missouri, 4 o'clock SEC Network alternate. And 4:30 West Virginia, Kansas, ESPN+. Because you're waiting on another game, South Alabama, UAB, 3:30 NFL Network, Temple versus Buffalo, 3:30 ESPNU, Wyoming versus Tulsa, 3:30 CBS Sports Network, and Troy versus Akron, 3 p.m. ESPN+. I mean, it's still football. Bowling Green, Kent State, 3:30 ESPN Extra, Miami of Ohio versus Ohio State, 3:30 Big Ten Network, Central Michigan versus Miami, 4 o'clock ACC Network, New Mexico State versus New Mexico, 3:30, and some streaming platform that I've never heard of before. So obviously the one to watch is Auburn, Texas A&M there.
How is the NFL Network allowed to show a college football game?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
So someone else is getting paid besides the players. Great. I mean, what?
Is that a surprise to you?
I mean, what the hell is going on?
The night primetime and late night slate. Easy for me to say. Oklahoma State, Texas. 7:30 on ABC. Notre Dame, Georgia. Oh, Rosh just flashed the horns down, so he's going to get fined by the Big 12. Notre Dame, Georgia on 8 p.m. on CBS. Utah State versus San Diego State at 10:30 on CBS Sports Network. That will
probably be more exciting than any of the Pac-12 After Dark, if you ask me. Mountain West After Dark. Could surprise us. Oregon versus Stanford at 7 on ESPN. And Colorado versus Arizona State at 10 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. Because you're waiting on another game, you should watch Old Dominion versus Virginia at 7 on ESPN 2. Also because Josh has Virginia's defense now. San Jose State versus Arkansas at 7:30 on SEC Network. Nebraska versus Illinois. Watch Mountaineer Ross's offense against the Fighting Illini at 8 p.m. on Big Ten Network. UCLA versus Washington State at 10:30 on ESPN. UTSA versus North Texas at 7:30, streaming on Stadium. And I mean it's still football. Ball State versus NC State at 7 o'clock on ESPNU. Baylor versus Rice at 7 on CBS Sports. Charlotte versus Clemson at 7:30 on ACC Network. Nevada versus UTEP at 8 on ESPN Extra. And last but not least, Georgia State versus Texas State at 7 on ESPN Plus. Shout out to LSUfootball.net for the scheduling and the TV times. And shout out to Ross and Josh for sitting through that twice because my computer died.
I feel like I have a way better understanding of what I'm doing on Saturday. Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, now you have no choice but to watch every game that I just mentioned. So let's talk some lines. Josh is mad about yesterday's line.
Yeah, I'm over one already with that one. And that was probably going to be my lock of the week, too. So good thing we didn't record yesterday. It's not going to choose new lock of the week.
I say just make your lock anyway.
Huh?
Go for it. Make Houston your lock right now.
Houston plus +4. Book it.
Ross, how many do you have? How many did you bet on this week?
I bet on 3 lines and 3 over-unders.
Okay. Why don't you start?
You want me to start?
I want you to start.
Okay.
Ross, how about you start?
My number one, damn near my lock of the week, I got Louisiana Lafayette +3 against Ohio. Yeah.
Whoa.
Give me all that money right now.
Put some respect on Nathan Rourke's name there, bud.
Then I got I got Oklahoma State +6.5 over Texas. Give me that money.
Wow.
Okay.
Give me that money right now. And then, of course, I have West Virginia -4.5.
Never bet on games you bet on your team.
I actually put a different money on my just straight up too. So I bet on them twice.
Nope.
Or Wake Forest for that matter.
All right, now I got my over unders here. Over 57.5 Notre Dame and Georgia. Please give me that money.
That's a good one.
SMU versus TCU over 55. Give me that money.
Really?
I said over. SMU's got apparently a good running back, and TCU, have they ever played defense? Nah, I have no idea.
They're the only team in the Big 12 that does play defense.
Okay, I'll still go with the 30. That's fine. And then my favorite over-under, ones that I think you guys are going to love, the over for the Michigan-Wisconsin game at 45. I believe that game will end 37-10, Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
It did
hit the over last year, but Michigan actually ran some decent offense last year in that game. We're on a Michigan podcast.
Yeah, right. You are so a Michigan podcast, it's not even funny.
I have 4 or 5, I'm sorry, that I'm going to go with here.
It's okay.
I'm taking the Oklahoma State-Texas over 74.5. Neither team there is going to play defense. We've already established that. It's anytime the Big 12 is playing a game and the over-under is set in the
below
lower
80.
Half, yeah, you have to expect they're going to hit that.
If it's single digit or double digits, you should take the over.
Yeah. I'm also taking the over 47.5 in Auburn and Texas A&M. I think there might be some more points there. And then I am also taking, I'm going to take Washington -6. I'm betting against BYU again. Did it last week. Did not work out well for me. I'm doing it again this week because I bet against Washington last week. And they also screwed me system. I'm betting on Washington to cover -6.
I like that logic. Both screwed you, only one can screw you this time.
I also bet on SMU-TCU, 55.5 over. Some of Monty Ross on that one. And then lastly, I'm taking Notre Dame +14.5 against Georgia.
Yeah, that's a huge line.
It's a big line. And Georgia is good enough to where they could cover. But it's a big game. You know, Notre Dame, last time they played,
it was a one-point game.
It's in Athens, but Notre Dame's going to come ready to play.
I don't think Georgia's 2 touchdowns better than Notre Dame.
Yeah. Even if they won by two touchdowns, that's still cover. The 14.5 is kind of what did it for me, just that extra half. So if they do lose by two touchdowns.
If it were 13.5, what would you do?
Then I'd be a little more nervous.
Yeah.
But I'll take those two touchdowns.
I think Notre Dame's going to cover. That's just such a big line for a top 15 matchup.
It's a huge line.
Yeah. All right, my locks. I took Cal +2 at Ole Miss. I took Louisville +6 at Florida State. And Georgia State +3 at Texas State. I don't even know how Texas State's even favored, but it is what it is.
I didn't know how Tulane was favored either.
Fair point. Because I was going to say Houston could be a lock as well. I took Washington versus BYU over 50. I took App State versus UNC under 58. And UCLA versus Washington State over 56.5. And I think Washington State's going to have to do the majority of the legwork to get there. Them's the lines.
I'm going to bet on all of those, Billy. Text me those, and I'm going to bet on all of them. Since you don't actually bet, because you're a good man, I'm actually going to bet on all of those.
It's not a morality thing. It's just I'm cheap.
That's what I said. You're a good man. I'm going to parlay all those on a $2 bet and see how much money I make.
Okay. If you're feeling confident.
I hate parlays.
Why?
Because I never win them.
It's not the parlay's fault.
Yeah, don't be mad at the betting. Don't be mad at Vegas, bud.
What are you going to do?
There's a bunch of other really crazy lines out here. Clemson's a 41-point favorite against Charlotte.
Those ones are always so...
They're so hard.
You can't even touch them.
I think Clemson might cover, though, to be honest.
They could, but they also...
Could not cover.
Yeah.
those are the options, yeah.
What was it, 41.5?
Just 41 flat. I guess they could push.
I was going to say, if it's 41.5, they can't push.
In a 44-3 game, it's not impossible. Iowa State's an 18.5-point favorite over Louisiana Monroe. I think
they're going to score 18.5 points.
Yeah, I really missed on that. Iowa State, I thought they were going to be a lot better.
So
did I.
I know, I was really...
They need to not lose again. No.
Here we were talking Notre Dame, Georgia being such a big line. Nebraska is only a 2-touchdown favorite at Illinois. Illinois lost to Eastern Michigan last week. And I don't know. I think Nebraska covers that with ease.
Eastern Michigan is a powerhouse, so I'm not surprised that they beat Illinois. As a man that's watched Nebraska every week, they're not that good.
Yeah, after week one, I'm kind of hesitant to.
They're really not that good. I've literally watched them every week, and they don't do anything exciting really. Martinez doesn't run as much as he should, and for some odd reason he thinks he's an actual NFL quarterback, and he keeps just throwing it all over the place because Scott Frost thinks he can do that, and I just get pissed off watching it every week. But yeah, I don't think they're that great.
Scott Frost knows more than you did. You want a national championship, okay?
That's true.
Lest we forget.
I mean, Frost did say that after Nebraska was ranked, he said, like, it's not going to be this year. It's going to be next year is the year, so it's going to be Martinez's last year of eligibility. Not last year, but the first year in which that he will be eligible for the draft. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say. So I think he'll have a lot more to prove, and I think they'll have a lot more pieces because they could have a pretty good recruiting class coming in. So, yeah, they look boring-ish, but I also wonder how much of it is trying to transition to a Scott Frost offense still, slow install, and get used to basically everybody transferred away last year.
Do you think that, like, when coaches have these quarterbacks and they know that they're going to have next year, that, like, and they know their team's going to be better, like, when I watch how boring Nebraska's offense is, do you think they're like, well, Adrian, maybe you shouldn't run the ball 10 times because is it worth it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where next year maybe we can get into a really nice ball game if you run the ball 10 times, it's fine. But this year when it's not worth it, do you think that's, like, a part of, like, a coach's mindset? Because I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when I have fantasy, fuck you, Scott Frost, run the ball with Adrian Martinez 10 times. You know?
I definitely think it's part of it. Especially when Scott Frost had to turn around such a broken program that Nebraska was. I definitely think he's thinking 3 years down the road instead of an immediate turnaround like he was at UCF. And like I said before, he's got Adrian Martinez for a minimum of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make it a slow play. And yeah, why get him hurt if you can avoid it? Knowing you're not going to compete for the playoff this year. But it's a good question. A couple of the random lines I want to throw at you. Miami is a 30.5-point favorite over Central Michigan.
Wow.
Central Michigan looked very bad. But then again, very Miami bad. Also looked...
Yeah, they don't look great.
Not good.
I don't know what to expect out of that one.
I'd take Miami on that one.
I did too. I have them.
Central's just that bad.
Yeah. I think just talent alone.
Yeah.
This also could be huge for Miami as a way to give their players confidence, having started against two really tough games throughout the season. Another huge one, Ohio State is a 39-point favorite against Miami of Ohio.
Take Ohio State all day.
I also think that's a very easy cover for Ohio State.
That game could be 42-0 at halftime.
That is really good.
Ryan Day definitely pays attention to lines. Like he pays attention to that. And he loves to make sure that he runs up the damn score.
Especially because Ohio State used to have an identity of never covering, regardless of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I'm going to say it. Ryan Day is the Pete Rose of college football, and I think it's about time someone says it. He's clearly putting money on these games. You heard it here first.
All right, let's do some of the good games.
That we're looking forward to?
Auburn, Texas A&M. A&M's a 4-point favorite. Would you take that?
No, I would not. I'm not going to touch that game. I saw what Auburn did in the Oregon game, coming back there and actually looking... I think better than what they're not going to contend, I don't think, in the SEC this year. But I think they're a 9-3 team.
They'll be the best 9-3 team in the country.
Yeah. But I don't know, I'm leaning towards Auburn in that one. I don't know. A&M, Collinwood hasn't looked great so far this year.
I know. He really hasn't.
He really, really hasn't.
And Auburn's defense is probably on par with Clemson's. So if he looked that uninspiring against Clemson, then don't know how much hope that gives Aggie fans for the Auburn game. But
yeah, so I think I'm leaning towards Auburn on that one.
That's definitely going to be the one to watch for the 3:30 slate, if you ask me.
You got to remember, Auburn's quarterback once worn an Auburn jersey when he was 10 years old. So he's kind of the best player ever in Auburn history.
Destiny.
Well, let's move on to Oklahoma State, Texas, because Sam Ehlinger... grew up a lifelong Texas fan, and now he got to be a walk-on and is a starting quarterback. So,
I actually genuinely didn't know he was a walk-on.
Was he a walk-on? I know he was a fan. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to research on this.
I think he's like a five-star recruit, Josh. I don't think you know what you're talking about. Same. Anyway, Oklahoma State, I think, is their freshman quarterback's very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I like him a lot, and I feel like Oklahoma State's that one team where, like, they don't ever get nervous for a game. They just lose because they're just like make a dumb mistake. They don't do it because of like, I'm nervous about playing Tech. They're just going to just play their game.
They're almost like too aggressive at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was right about half of them. He grew up a Texas fan. He grew up in Austin, Texas as a Texas fan. He was a 4-star recruit. And in high school, he broke records that were once held by Drew Brees and Nick Foles.
Real hard road there for Sam Ehlinger to get to.
But
Texas.
He grew up, he's one of those kids who also grew up a big Texas fan. Now he's living his dream. So congratulations to him. But I'm taking Oklahoma State because Texas is not back.
And OK State has played Texas tough the last 10 years.
Yeah.
As long as Gundy's been there, they've always played Texas tough.
To me, it's the game of the week. That's going to be the most exciting. A lot of orange.
I think, a lot of orange.
A lot of orange.
A lot of orange. I actually think Notre Dame-Georgia is probably the game of the week out of all of them. Their styles are also very similar. Really good running, passing when they need to. Really good defenses. I don't know if Georgia covers by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to be able to sit in my apartment at 7:30 tomorrow and watch that game and not have to be anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't know we were doing a joke there. And also, I think you're watching the game at my apartment.
That's right. So, Ross's apartment.
This is awkward. I
have to work tomorrow. That's the joke there, so...
You know why Georgia and Notre Dame's not going to be an exciting game?
Why?
It's the late game on CBS. That game is never exciting. Name me one late game CBS game that's been exciting.
Alabama-Auburn.
When was that?
The field goal that Auburn returned for a touchdown.
That was like 7 years ago.
And, that was,
and it's Alabama-Auburn.
You said never!
That was a 3:30 kickoff.
It was a 3:30. Yeah, shit!
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know if CBS gets a lot of...
Never get the primetime game, and the ones they have, it always ends up being 42-20.
Did they get the SEC championship? Because that was exciting last year.
Oh, good point.
That might have been a 3:30 game, too, though.
Probably was.
I think that also might have been ESPN. I'm not sure.
All the listeners at home, if you could please fact check that.
We'll have to pay attention to that. Come
tweet at us. Let us know.
As the SEC gets deeper into their season, we'll have to pay attention to what's the 3:30 CBS game versus what's the primetime CBS game. Because I don't remember CBS having primetime games, because obviously everyone's going to watch the ABC or ESPN game, whatever that one is. Really small thing I'm excited for this week. They actually staggered kickoff times. They have 7, 7:30, and 8 o'clock kicks in the primetime slate. Mm-hmm. I can't watch them anyway, but it's good for the people that are watching.
I'm sure you can sneak out.
We'll see.
Be able to watch some of the games.
I'm already sour, though.
Well, you get to watch some noon kickoffs, MSU Northwestern.
I'm not going to, because Michigan's playing, and I'm going to be too nervous, so I'm going to find myself, I'm going to keep busy elsewhere. In fact, especially because I have to show up at work at like 2 o'clock. I'm not going to leave the Michigan game halfway through. So I'm just going to...
That's fair. I think it's funny that you think that halfway through that decision isn't already made on who's winning and who's not. I think that's very nice of you to think, because that baby's going to be over by 2 o'clock. I'm going to be turning the channel. I know that. Jonathan Taylor gets his fourth touchdown in the game. All right. I think it's about time to turn this baby off.
That would just add salt to the wound.
What wound do you have?
If Michigan loses, that will be the wound. Okay? If Jonathan Taylor, who I'm playing against, scores four touchdowns, that will be a salt.
Okay.
Well said.
I see Jonathan Taylor's salt baying all over that wound right now. Just sprinkling.
I know. Me too.
Now, if it helps, last year, for whatever reason, Paul Chris decided to start throwing on 3rd and 3 rather than using Jonathan Taylor, who was rushing for 7 yards a carry. Let's hope he does that again. But not a Michigan podcast.
I hope for the sake of this Michigan podcast that they get a win. Because this is Michigan State's, or wait, sorry, Michigan University's podcast.
This is the best weekend of the four that we've had as far as matchups go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because conference play is starting to roll.
Play is starting.
Yeah, and we get some good non-conference matchups too.
Name one.
Notre Dame, Georgia.
That's a conference. That's a conference game.
UCF Pitt.
Notre Dame's a part of every conference. That's the great thing about Notre Dame.
Utah State, San Diego State.
Finally.
Oh, that's Mountain West. Damn it. App State, UNC.
You just said to name one, and we did, so...
UCF and Pitt.
I said that one.
He did say that.
That's the best one.
Cal Ole Miss.
Boom.
I don't want to watch that. But anyway.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Thanks for joining us.
Do the Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Contact us on Twitter at @PTO_podcast. You can send us an email if it's 2005.
We have an email? We have an email? Wow.
ThePTOpodcast@gmail.com.
I see that beige computer, huge in the back.
You can hear dusty. The internet clicking.
Yep.
Still have to use a landline to do our internet.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
We don't got that Wi-Fi money yet.
Nope.
So contact us. Enjoy the slate this weekend. Let's see which games will be hashtag getting weird.
Is that our hashtag for the year?
Not for the year. I just...
Well, I mean, it's been used every week.
Yeah, whenever games are close, I'm like, is this getting weird?
It's our official. We're trademarking it.
Yeah, no one else can use
it.
You
can't use it anymore.
Weird. Well, getting weird.
You can say that. You say it. Can't be hashtag getting weird. Right, that's ours. That's our hashtag.
Just like we're going to trademark Taco Tuesday.
And the.
But we're not going to trademark the Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, we're shutting it down. Thanks for listening.
Bye.